You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's roll. All right, we got a ton of football talk for you on the program like we always do on Wednesdays. Mark Lawrence been joining me every Wednesday for, I don't know, about 12 years now. Mark Lawrence joins us on the program, playbook.com. I'm in a college mood today. We've talked a lot of NFL football this week. I'm in a college type of mood. And I'll tell you what, week three of the college card, off the freaking hook, man. Off the hook. And in fact, even Thursday night's game, yeah, we got the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, and we'll be talking about that game on the program a lot over the next 24 hours. But we got a huge college tilt on board with the Houston Cougars taking on the Cincinnati Bearcats in Cincinnati. And I'll tell you what, man, this is a landmine for the Houston Cougars. Cougars lost in a similar spot last year, laying 8 on the road. They're laying 7.5 here. Last year, they lost to UConn in this spot. Except Greg Ward Jr. did not play in that football game. You know, it's up in the air whether he's going to play in this game or not. But I'll tell you what, Cincinnati's not UConn, all right? Tommy Tuberville knows what he's doing. Hayden Moore's a hell of a quarterback. Beat out Gunnar Kiel. Cincinnati's a dangerous football team, but we'll break that down with Mark Lawrence and Emory Hunt. We welcome Emory Hunt to the program. Football game plans, Emory Hunt. This guy's real sharp. Great website. We're going to talk some college football with Emory. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joins me in studio. The Raging Redhead, strong first week of NFL picks for Cam. Cam joins us in studio. We're going to talk some NFL football. So we have two college football segments, NFL football segment, and some baseball picks. Except truth be told with the baseball picks, hey, it's September right now. Anything can happen. We're crushing football. I don't want to give it back to the books. So when you bet baseball, bet real small, unless you know, you're in the groove or whatever. But our baseball picks, we're just buying time, man. I love the college football card. Tomorrow, we got a full slate of games on Friday. Saturday, you know, Saturday's really one of the best college football Saturdays I can remember in a long time this early in the season. There are literally like 5 high-profile national championship implication games. Some of them are going on at the same time. Like, it's that big this Saturday. All right, so speaking of big, Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan. Now, I know, you're saying, Morenci, you just talked about the Buffalo Bills on Monday. And we melted down about the Buffalo Bills' pathetic offensive performance after the game on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. But as you saw, you know, we really didn't go after Rex Ryan very much. Rex Ryan destroyed the Bills' defense last year. And the Bills, you know, some of their talent is somewhat suspect at the linebacker position of the D line right now. But the defense actually played well against the Baltimore Ravens. But Rex Ryan understands he's on the hot seat. Terry Pegula has, publicly stated, if the Buffalo Bills do not make the playoffs in 2016, Rex Ryan is done and Doug Whaley is done. General manager Doug Whaley is done. Rightfully or wrongfully so, whether Rex deserves the blame, the Buffalo Bills can't go 0-2. You go 0-2, you're toast, all right? Since 2007, 66 teams have started the season 0-2. Only 5 of them made the playoffs. In NFL history, generally your percentage is about 13% that you're 0-2. And the Buffalo Bills schedule is real tough. The New York Jets don't want to be 0-2. The Redskins and the Cowboys. There's a lot of must-win games this week in the NFL, even though it's week two. I'm telling you, must-win games for a lot of teams, including the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. So Rex Ryan's going to do whatever it takes to win a football game right now because his fat ass is on the line. Yeah, Rex Ryan's not as fat as he used to be because he got that lap band surgery done. And you figure, listen, the Buffalo Bills are struggling. They need a win. Maybe we can look at our passing attack. Well, what are we doing wrong? What can we tinker on defense? No, Rex Ryan figures the solution to the Buffalo Bills' problems is to eat more. As Rex Ryan's getting the lap band removed because he says, not only am I going to support my brother, Rob, who had to get his lap band removed for medical purposes, he's going to support him. He also says, I won more games without it. And you know what? Many of you probably thinking, oh, here come the jokes. I love the move, Rex. I love the move. This is like Homer Simpson trying to get on disability. Just make sure your fingers don't become so fat that you can't dial in the place anymore. Classic episode. Awesome episode. But in all honesty, I like this move from Rex Ryan. How can you coach well if you're thinking about chicken wings? How can you coach well if you're thinking, I don't want to eat this damn Jenny Craig lunch. I want to stuff my face. I'm of the belief that life is short. All this health crap is nothing but crap. You know, I know people have, you know, that ate yogurt and ate vegetables every day and they're dead, all right? I eat Kentucky Fried Chicken pizza and I drink a 2 liter of Coke before I go to bed. And you know what? I'm fine. I'm like Mr. Burns. I got 99 things wrong with me, but they're all stuck and I can't get out. And you know what? I'm loving it. You know, I'm going to live life to the fullest. Why should a Rex Ryan as well? The fact of the matter is, I'd prefer if Rex is fat and happy than hungry and miserable. And let's call it out for what it is. Not that I advocate any sort of substance abuse, people, but let's be honest. Sober people suck. Sober people suck. You bore me. You bore me. I don't give a crap what some guy says about some football game and some bet when I know he's never left the side of the comfort of his wife, or, you know, he's still living at home with mom. Guy's never lost $8,000 to the mob before. Guy's never went on a coke bender before. Guy's never gotten drunk and woken up in a backyard of somebody else's house that he doesn't know before. You know, that's the type of stuff I'm looking for. Look at Metallica. Look at rock bands. Look at Aerosmith. Aerosmith are great. Rock bands are better when they're wasted. As soon as they're all sober and telling people about how, you know, they found the light, their music sucks. It's a fact. You know, you tell Robert De Niro to start doing big lines of cocaine, I bet you he's not good of an actor anymore. All right? You know, so all this, live for the health. I'm glad that Rex Ryan is going to stuff his face. I don't care what you eat, bro, as long as we win some damn football games. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenz. We want to welcome everybody listening on Fantasy Sports Network radio as well. Download the Fantasy Sports Network app to listen wherever you are in audio form. All right, so we got a ton of football to get to. Emery Hunt's going to join us in a couple of minutes. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart's going to join me in studio. Without further ado, let's bring in Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence, a must-read weekly newsletter. Mark, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Gabe. How are you doing on this good-looking college football weekend?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We've been talking a lot of NFL this week, and it's great to have the NFL back. We had a successful week one of NFL play, but I'll tell you, week two was kind of bare. We talked about it last week collegiately. Week three's off the hook. This is one of the best Saturdays I can remember in recent memory.
Well, you sound like Mel B on America's Got Talent. Every act that she liked was off the hook. It's exactly what this college football card looks like to me as well.
Yeah, I got to talk like the kids do still, right? Like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that I'm talking like a girl from the Spice Girls. But that's besides the point. Let's jump right in so we can get to as many games. And I won't even get into the point how you know she says that on America's Got Talent, Mark. But that's another story as well. So many big games with national championship implications. Even though there's a playoff now, you still have to win every week. That's the beauty of college football. You know, there's not a lot of room for error. Maybe one slip up along the way. We have the Houston Cougars now, Mark, who have a clear path to be that team. Not from the power conference that can get into the Final Four. They've shown by beating, if they just beat Oklahoma, they wouldn't be ranked six. But this is where previous years come into play. Last year, they beat FSU in the Peach Bowl. Now they beat Oklahoma. So now they get the benefit of the doubt. But I'll tell you what, man, this is a landmine they're going into tomorrow night in Cincinnati, Ohio, isn't it?
No question about that. I mean, they're feeling awfully good about themselves for all the right reasons of everything they've done, both last year and this year. But Cincinnati's sitting here right now just waiting and licking their chops. They remember last year when they lost to Houston, Cincinnati outyarded them over 150 yards in the football game, lost on the scoreboard here. Houston had better bring their A game because Cincinnati is waiting in the weeds.
Yeah, Cincinnati's thinking, why not us? You know, they're not better than us. We can do this at... You know, I'm getting Tommy Tuberville plus 7.5 on his home field. That's pretty tempting.
That's very tempting. You put a win in the column for Cincinnati here in this football game, and all of a sudden the roles reverse for these two football teams. It could be Cincinnati that runs the table, ends up being that undefeated non-Power 5 team.
A total 64. I'm expecting a high-scoring game. I don't know the status of Greg Ward Jr., though, if he's going to play or not. And that's interesting that they're still 7.5-point favorites with their star quarterback being questionable.
Well, you know, we read into this when we wrote the game up in the newsletter this week, Gabe, and it was said, Tom Herman said that he could have played last week if he was needed. Their running back was also set out in the football game. He, too, could have played Duke Catalan if needed. So one would have to assume that they're needed this week and they will play.
Yeah, so the Cougars won 33-30 last year, and there's a lot of talk about Greg Ward, but Hayden Moore is a very good quarterback. I actually remember when he made his debut. When he came in and he threw for like 6 touchdowns and 480 yards or whatever. But you got to be pretty good if you get the job over Gunnar Keel. Moore's had a nice start, 5 TDs, 1 interception, quarterback rating of 147.
Yeah, really, really good. This is another two-headed quarterback type team, but Moore obviously the number one quarterback for the Bearcats this year, unless something happens. But the fact of the matter is he's done a great job when he played last year and this year. They look raring to go in this football game Thursday night.
I got burnt last week. I got a push on Western Kentucky. I decided, you know, you and I talk about it all the time, Nick Saban. You know, not great in the non-conference spots when laying more than 24 points in that range. They were up. They were up bigger. Western Kentucky scored a late touchdown. I got a push at one spot. I actually cashed one spot at 28.5, and unfortunately, I lost at one spot. I played an in-game at like plus 27.5 when the game started. But I'm getting tired of messing with Alabama, to be honest with you, Mark. But here they are. They're laying double digits on the road against an Ole Miss team that looked great in the first half against FSU. They're at home. You know, there's numbers on both sides here, aren't they? Tell us about the double revenge situation for Saban and how he basically murders you if you beat him 2 times in a row.
My goodness, if you'd have heard him last week, you saw him on the sidelines ranting and going off on Lane Kiffin. You saw him in the press conference afterwards. He was all Lou Holtz setting the team up for this week's football game. He knows that he's got to get their A focus on this contest. Not only did they lose to Mississippi, handed them their only loss of the season last year, they lost to Mississippi here 2 years ago. This is rare territory for Nick Saban, double revenge in this football game. This game is being priced accordingly, though. We're talking about a double-digit favorite at Ole Miss, who plays very, very well, especially at home, defending their home turf. This is a team that, you go back and you look at them, they're 13-2 the last 15 home games. I still wouldn't, like you, want to step in front of Alabama right now this week, especially with that double revenge in their mind.
Yeah, the only times that this has happened to Nick Saban, he won the next game by 35 points, by 19 points, and by 21 points. But the Rebels are 6-0 against the spread last 6 when getting points at home in SEC play, but are only 3-13 when playing a team with revenge. You can make arguments for both sides here, Mark.
No question about that. The question is, which team or which coach do you want to line up with? Who do you feel better? Yeah. Nick Saban, Alabama in this football contest, or Ole Miss, the Rebels, who are a very, very well-coached football team, as we all know, with Hugh Freeze. He's also a money-making machine.
You know, my gut instinct tells me that it's sort of like a lot of Alabama games, like that, you know, the USC game sort of. Mississippi hangs around for a while, but as the third and fourth quarter rolls on, it's hard to contain Alabama for 60 minutes. They're so good at in-game adjustments as well. All right, let's talk about a game with clear national championship implications. There was a lot of focus on FSU and Clemson. The Clemson have to go into Tallahassee, that's going to be the deciding factor as far as the ACC and who's going to represent them in the playoffs. Yet Louisville's come out of nowhere here. They hung 70 on Charlotte in week 1. Then they followed that up with a lethal offensive performance last week in the Dome in Western New York. Now they get FSU. FSU's laying 2 points in this football game. This is a fun football game.
A real fun football game. You look at those stats last week. The first thing you said was, mother of God, 845 yards. they hung on Syracuse last week, did Louisville. This football team can play. They've got a tremendous offense. Lamar Jackson, a front runner for the Heisman Trophy, as we speak right now. All this going up against Florida State, the team we picked to win the national championship in our Preview Guide magazine this year. This game has got college football playoff written all over it. It's going to be one heck of a football game again. Another contest you can make sides on both cases for.
Now we can look at Louisville, but we can also look at the competition that they faced in Charlotte and Syracuse. At least FSU has a real fight under their belt. They've already got punched in the mouth this year. You know, they played Ole Miss, they played an SEC team, they found themselves down by 22, and they rallied back. You know, you can make an argument for Louisville. That stadium's going to be off the hook, although it's an earlier game. It's going to be crazy there. But FSU just have the pedigree. For my gut instinct, these are tough games, Mark, but my gut instinct tells me I got to ride the pedigree of FSU, have been here and done that. I mean, next to their freshman quarterback, everyone's a vet on this team.
Exactly right. They were the most experienced team in this conference coming into this year with returning starters. They're 22-0 in their first five football games of the season going backwards. You don't step in front of this football team early on in the season here. And as you say, you brought out a great point. They've taken it up against some quality football opposition this year. Louisville's opposition is questionable.
All right, so the database, I don't know, the database can't be too deep when it comes to the Oregon Ducks being underdogs, or at least if we're talking about, let's say, the last 10 years or so. Mark, you and I have talked about Helfrich, and, you know, you can't deny that the recruiting is a little bit down. You can't deny that, you know, the program isn't quite the elite, stellar, you know, everyone's a five-star blue chip, but they still do have talent. And there's still the leftover, the hangovers. There's still some really good players. You got Royce Freeman here. Dakota Prokop has looked good at quarterback, the Montana State transfer. And you're getting the Ducks plus +3 against the Nebraska team. We talk about pedigree. Nebraska's pedigree is they find a way not to win these games.
They do. They
find ways. That's their pedigree, isn't it, Mark?
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. You have to tell it like it is. And they find ways to lose these good, tough football games. What stands out to me in this contest is Oklahoma's pedigree. You look at them on the road, about 28-3 straight up their last 31 road games. That's a really impressive number for a team that's now all of a sudden going to be an underdog. And the last 14 times they've been an underdog in non-conference play, they've simply gone 13-1 to the spread. I'm with you. I think that pressure is all on Nebraska here. The other thing I like inside this contest is Mike Riley. He's really struggled in games against Oregon when he was a head coach at Oregon State. They had his number there, and I think they'll have his number here on Saturday as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not like he brings any, I used to stop them with this, right? He doesn't have that to hang his hat on. The Ducks are 7-1 against the spread their last 8 on the road versus Big Ten opponents. Nebraska just 1-5 against the spread last 6 versus Pac-12 teams. And being a Michigan fan, I can tell you all too painfully, Mark, the Pac-12 kicks the Big Ten's ass all the time for some reason.
That they do.
I'm being blunt today. I know. I'm really telling it like it is.
But the facts are the facts. You can't deny them. And a lot of that happens in Rose Bowl games, but it's not Rose Bowl. This is still Pac-12, Pac-10 slash against the Big Ten. And I think the edge goes to Oregon in this contest.
All right. So let's talk about Oklahoma. Oklahoma, Mark. It's not often that the Oklahoma Sooners are going to be home underdogs. And I could be wrong about this, but I was reading the local Norman newspapers, and the local beat writer said it's the first time that they're home underdogs in 16 years when they played Nebraska in the year 2000. And in fact, this game, and this is unbelievable to me because Oklahoma played some big games, but this game is being deemed the biggest game in Oklahoma since that Nebraska game, when, of course, Oklahoma and Nebraska used to be big, big, big rivals. You know, what do you make of this game, man? This game is massive, isn't it? Massive national championship implications. Massive that, you know, the Sooners are underdogs on their home field. But Bob Stoops' reputation is at stake here. It's one thing to get beat in the playoffs. It's one thing to get beat in a bowl game. It's another thing to get beat on your home field on a Saturday night on national television. This could be the beginning of the end for Coach Stoops if he doesn't win this game, Mark.
Or it could can be the continuation of coaching forever at Oklahoma if he wins this game as well.
Yep.
You take a look at what he's done here. How about at home hosting non-conference teams at Oklahoma, 40-2. He's won 40 out of 42 games non-conference at home. He's 18-2 straight up at home against undefeated football teams. He's been a home underdog two times with the Sooners. He's won each of those games 51-6 and 31-14. It goes on and on and on for the Sooners here. We haven't even talked about the Ohio State side of this football game here, but plenty of good numbers for Oklahoma.
No, and I'll tell you, Ohio State have looked good, but they're a young team. I know they got JT Barrett. My concern here is Oklahoma struggled with mobile quarterbacks in the past, but I think this is where it catches up to the Buckeyes. Urban Meyer, I think he's a better coach than Stoops. I give the advantage to the coach, but just the talent, I think some of these kids, if Oklahoma doesn't screw up, they win this game. And, you know, it's funny because the number keeps dropping. It's probably going to be a pick 'em by kickoff.
Probably will be pick 'em. I think that would be a good, solid number because, like you say, we're making cases for both sides here. We talked about Stoops, non-conference games. How about Urban Meyer, 60-6 straight up in non-conference games in his college football coaching career? And you got to go back to 2011 to find the last time Ohio State lost a football game on the road.
Wow.
It's been 18 straight road wins for the Buckeyes. They know how to win games away from the horseshoe here. Bottom line to me, though, it comes down to the need of the football game. If Oklahoma loses this game, they can kiss their college football playoff chances goodbye. They'll be done. They'll be a two-loss team. Even if they run the Big 12 title, they still will not be in the college football playoffs. Ohio State can lose this game and still find a way to make a ticket invite into the playoffs here. I think this is a huge game for Oklahoma.
We've only got 90 seconds left, so let's go quick here. I'm going to blast through two games, Mark. I'm taking the money line here. Cal wins outright, getting 8 points. I don't even want to talk about this game on national television now, Mark, because I don't want to give the secret away, but what the hell am I missing here? This game's going to be a track meet. I think people are down on Cal because, oh, look, they lost to San Diego State. San Diego State are a playoff caliber football team. Like these guys, like you were writing, they might run the table, San Diego State. They're damn good. I got no problem taking Cal in their home opener here with Sonny Dykes getting points here. Point spread's way too high. Cal can win this game outright.
If this game were the first game of the season, Gabe, Cal would have been the favorite in this football game. They're not. They're the dog because of what Texas has done and the name and reputation of Cal. I'm with you. I think the Bears in the upset in this contest.
All right. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. I was disgusted by the putrid offense, Mark, that we saw under 200 yards of total offense, 111 yards passing, like 68 yards rushing. It was anemic. Like Don Bosco High School could put up better numbers than the Buffalo Bill offense did. And I was thinking, man, I'm already, you know, the Bills are terrible. The Jets are actually a good team. But, man, there's a lot of numbers that say Buffalo, you know, 5 straight wins against the Jets, the Bills in a lot of, you know, your database, it shines favorably on Buffalo, your database, doesn't it?
It does. Everything except for the fact that Buffalo kept the Jets out of the playoffs last year. That lost the last game of the season denied them, a 10-win team, a bid into the playoffs last year. That'll be their incentive. They're going to have to overcome Ryan Fitzpatrick against Rex Ryan. He's 1-8, Fitzpatrick is, against Rex Ryan in his National Football League career. Sub 50% passes he's completed throughout his career. The tough, tough call here. I'm going to lean small to the Jets here, but no surprise if Buffalo wins the game either.
Yeah, it's a tough game. Hey, Mark, it's always a pleasure, sir. We encourage people go to playbook.com, get information about fantasy sports apps and games, newsletters, picks, and check out Covers Experts and Vegas Insider.com as well. Excuse me. I'm like the Buffalo Bills, Mark. I'm choking. We start
Don't
talking about
up.
The Bills. I start choking. Thanks, Mark.
Have a great weekend, Gabe.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. I got to stop making fun of Hillary Clinton, man. I'm having coughing fits, and I'm going to be stumbling into vans, although I've done both. All right, Emery Hunt joins us next. We're talking college football. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. For all you NFL players, don't worry. We got some NFL talk coming up in the next segment. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart will join me in studio. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us on the program and talking some college football. There are so many games to talk about. We didn't even get to all the big games with Mark, but there are also some games that are so big they deserve to be talked about more than once, so we get multiple opinions on this game so we can come to the best possible conclusion. All right, let's bring in a man who does great stuff. Sort of reminds me of like Coach Nick and what Coach Nick does with bballbreakdown.com. But we got footballgameplan.com's Emery Hunt joins us. It's a great website. And what I noticed about it, it's a lot of former players. A lot of former players, you know, that are with the correspondents and are working. And it's great to get the players' perspective into college football. And let's bring in a man that played some ball himself and the founder of Football Game Plan. Emery Hunt joins us. Emery, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Gabe. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no, we're excited to have you on. You know what? We know one of your colleagues and correspondents in Brandon London, former Montreal Alouette football player. Many years ago, I used to host the Alouettes postgame show, actually, and still a big, huge CFL fan to this day. But let's talk some NCAA football, Emery. You know, week two was eh. Week one was cool. Week two was eh. Yeah, it was like NFL took over. Week three is just, it's, man, there's like half a dozen football games with national championship implications. Let's start off with the Buckeyes and the Sooners. You know, big game Bob Stoops hasn't won a big game in a while, but he also doesn't lose a lot in September and October. He loses, he saves the best for last. Yet, it sounds crazy to say this, Emery, but Bob Stoops really could be on his way out. This could be the beginning of the end if he doesn't win this game.
Well, it's tough to say right now, early on, but I can understand why you would express that, because you look at his last two big games versus Houston and versus Clemson in the playoffs, and he lost both games. But I do like the fact that the Sooners come in with a well-balanced offense, very good defense, and this should be a really good game and good test versus Ohio State.
You know, they're more experienced than the Buckeyes. You know, the Buckeyes have a ton of speed. And it's amazing how, you know, Urban Meyer is producing the NFL talent that he does. But, you know, Oklahoma are a veteran team. And, you know, I can give them a pass, all right? Things got away from you in the Orange Bowl against Clemson. All right, things, you know, the offense sputtered against Houston on a neutral field. This game's in Norman, and it's unbelievable. It's the first time they're home underdogs in 16 years, Emery, when they played Nebraska in the old days. A massive football game. Now, I'm not saying that Stoops gets fired Monday morning, but I'm a Michigan fan, and we saw it with Lloyd Carr. The Appalachian State game was sort of the beginning of the end, and, you know, once the media turns on you, it's hard to turn that around.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at the magnitude of this game, this is the Ohio State, and you look at their pedigree coming in, it's rare that we see Ohio State traveling to Oklahoma. I think the last time they played was 1985 or something like that. So this is a big game from a historical standpoint, because you get two titans of college football playing against one another. So again, you're right. Not only is it's a big game on the field, but surrounding the game is big, which means it's even more pressure on Bob Stoops to win this one.
Yeah, nationally televised, Urban Meyer rolling in here. I'm going with the Sooners. I'm going with the Sooners, because as you just stated, Emery, we don't see the Buckeyes in these spots. I know the Buckeyes are a dominant road team under Meyer, but for the most part, you know, they play cream puffs or it's Big Ten play. This is a step up. I think it catches up to the Buckeyes, the rebuilding. You know, JT Barrett, you know, JT Barrett, to me, he has to run for like three touchdowns and throw for like 250 yards if they're going to win. I just think Oklahoma have enough talent and have been pushed around enough that they get the screw you America win on Saturday night.
You know, I agree with you. I like Oklahoma in this ball game, because when you look at Oklahoma's talent, from a receiver to a running back to out on the flanks in the secondary with those corners and safeties, I think they can do a great job in making Ohio State one-dimensional. So look for them to stop that running game and make JT Barrett win from the pocket. I think that's where Oklahoma wins this game. I agree with you.
All right, let's talk about Michigan State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship to hang their hat on at the end of the year. So, like, oh, you know, we got a loss, but hey, look, we're the ACC champ. They're playing some ACC teams. So Notre Dame really doesn't have a margin for error. Maybe it's too early to talk about national championship stuff, but maybe a two-team team gets in. But, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. With Notre Dame, with already a loss under their belt, there's not a lot of room for error here. You got Michigan State that nobody in the national picture is really, really counting on to be a national impact type team. But they are ranked 12th, and they will be an impact team if they can beat Notre Dame here in South Bend. What do you make of this game?
Well, it's going to be tough for Notre Dame because you look at the fact that Michigan State comes in with two things, a run game and a defense. Now, Notre Dame has struggled in stopping the run, not last week versus Nevada, but week one versus Texas, they had issues stopping the run. However, when you look at stopping the run, it's about attitude and about want to. I think eventually they will put the pressure on Tyler O'Connor, the quarterback of Michigan State. They're going to make this an O'Connor versus Kaiser game, and in that situation, you have to side with DeShone Kizer. So I do think it'll be a low-scoring game that'll come down to which team can make the most plays in a passing game. And to me, that's Notre Dame. I think the Irish win this one.
You know, though, these two teams, they haven't played in a couple of years, but they used to play every year, and it was always a close game. Always a close game, decided by a touchdown or less. I say this for the teaser players out there. Get on Michigan State in a plus 14 and a half. You know, it's interesting football game. For the point spread, Emery, Notre Dame are 7.5-point favorites in this football game. I think a lot of people sort of saw Sparty play Furman in week one, looked up and go, man, these guys are struggling with Furman. But I think, you know, Michigan State's been sleeping on this football game. I think Sparty are better than people realize.
Absolutely. And again, when you have the defense and you're able to play consistently, despite losing all of that talent they've lost in the last 3 years, Michigan State's defense has been one of the best in the country. So you have to expect their defense to come ready to play. And when you can run the football like you do, you tend to shrink the game and shrink possessions. So I don't like that number 7.5 given to Notre Dame. I think if you're a betting guy, taking Michigan State in those points would be your best bet.
Yeah, close football game. Comes down to the fourth quarter. I think, you know, last 7 minutes of the game decides it type of deal. All right, Florida State and Louisville, Emery. Holy crap, man. What a Saturday, man. What an awesome Saturday this is going to be. This is an early game, actually. The other games are at night. The first two games we talked about are at night. This is an earlier one. I just had Mark Lawrence on, who I have a lot of respect for when it comes to college football. Me and Mark both think Florida State's pedigree is the difference here. Yeah, listen, Lamar Jackson's been killing it. Seven touchdown passes, six rushing touchdowns already. But it was against Syracuse and the Charlotte 49ers. I like the fact that FSU has a game against an SEC team under their belt.
Well, I look at it like this. When you look at all things being considered, they're both young quarterbacks. They both have questionable offensive line play. Florida State more so than Louisville. Defensively, I think they both can get pressure on a quarterback. They both have athleticism in the secondary and at the second level. I think the biggest X factor in this game is Lamar Jackson. So I look at the fact that Florida State had issues in protecting DeAndre Francois last game versus Ole Miss. And granted, Ole Miss is a really good defense. And when you look at the type of game Louisville can play, they can play up-tempo, they can slow it down, they can run the football, they can air you out. And you also look at the fact that Florida State has some issues in covering Ole Miss's wide receivers. I think Louisville wins this game because I like their ability to, one, spread the field, and two, make you account for the quarterback that can take off and run. And he's just as fast as your safety or even faster than your safety. So a lot of pressure on Florida State, especially the fact that they don't have Derwin James back there at safety. That's a big part of their defense. So I think Louisville shocks people at noon and wins that ball game.
You know, it's a good point that you raised as far as FSU. That's what surprised me the most in the first half of that game, that veteran Noel secondary was getting lit up. You know, evidently losing Jalen Ramsey was a problem for them. They were getting lit up back there. And as you stated, Louisville, I mean, Lamar Jackson, guy completed passes to 16 different guys. It's hard to even keep up with all the, right. It's like, who's this guy? Oh, that guy? Who, number 81? Like, who's he? It's unbelievable how many wide receivers that Petrino rolls out on the field. All right, so you're going with the Ville here. Interesting. That's why I like getting multiple perspectives. So we got 1-1. Lawrence says FSU. Hunt says the Ville. All right, this next game, not a national championship implication game, but a fun football game and an interesting football game with Louisiana Tech and Texas Tech. I was on the over last week, and that was a good bet against Arizona State. Texas Tech's defense giving up 42 and a half points. It's getting to the point now where Kingsbury would almost be better off just being an offensive coordinator. The guy could, like, be a star offensive coordinator, because part of being a coach, Emery, is actually having a defense. And it doesn't seem like Tech cares about defense. The over-under here is 80 points. Do you think Louisiana Tech hangs with these guys?
I think so, because, again, it's what they say, to use a boxing reference, styles make fights. So you have a team in Louisiana Tech that can run the football, shrink the game, chew up the clock. Defensively, they can do a great job in coverage. And you have the pass-happy Texas Tech Red Raiders. Now, I do like Texas Tech to win the game, but it won't be one of these blowout-type victories because they won't have the ball a lot. Now, Louisiana Tech, they haven't faced a quarterback. They face spread offenses. They're going to see a lot of spread offenses in Conference USA, but they haven't faced a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who not only can throw the football all over the field, but he can also run. So that dual-threat capability will limit itself to big plays for Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech's defense, we saw them try to stop the run in the bowl game against LSU to no avail. Louisiana Tech's fundamentally built to where they want to run the football, operate off play action. They're more of a pro spread type offense. So they'll limit some possessions for Texas Tech, but it won't be enough. They don't have the firepower to say, make it a shootout. So they'll try to shrink the game, but Texas Tech will do a great job of maximizing their offensive possessions.
No, you're right. You know, you look at Tech, and they can play smash-mouth football. They took a very, very physical Arkansas Razorback team to the brink in week one. It's an intriguing game, actually, the contrast in styles, but it should be a very entertaining game. I think the 10.5 is too much, but I think that Texas Tech's defense is so bad that it's going to be a track meet, high-scoring game in the end. And we should know Texas Tech are putting up 62 points per game on offense. So, you put up 62 a game, you should, oh, yeah, they're the best team ever. But no, not Tech.
They're giving up 63.
Yeah, it's good news, bad news. Hey, Emery? Exactly. Hey, Matt, this is great stuff. We'll definitely do this again. We encourage people to check out footballgameplan.com, FBallGamePlan on Twitter. We got it up on the screen. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Emery.
Appreciate you having me on, Gabe.
There's Emery Hunt with us. All right, we take a quick break. We come back. We talk some NFL football with Cam Stewart in studio. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Always a fun time when a raging redhead, Cam Stewart, joins us in studio. Cam, didn't take long for Drew to say something dumb, huh?
I know. This guy, Cameron, too. I know he gives me his sandwiches every week, and I love him. But, God, sometimes this guy's comments are unbelievable. Anyway, Morency, we have a big college game, and numbnuts over here. What did he say?
He said Lamar Jackson sucks.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson sucks. Have you taken a look at Louisville this year? Watch out for the Cardinals. This team is red hot. I know Syracuse isn't world beaters, but I wish I got them at +4 instead of +2.5.
I tell you what, Livingston has a way with words. Earlier in the program,
he pissed you off.
Early in the day, I get in here. I'm like, I got to get my picks. I'm like, freaking baseball. He goes, yeah, baseball. He goes, your football picks are like 80%. I think your baseball's like 40, though.
Ooh.
It's like, yeah, 40. I'm like, it's not 40%. Like, this guy.
We could have live bet Tampa Bay when they're down to the Jays there, Morency, at +300, I'll tell you.
The Jays suck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Value betting against them.
Jays suck. All right, Louisville and FSU, we've gotten multiple perspectives. Mark Lawrence likes FSU.
Well, I respect
Mark Lawrence. I like FSU.
Oh, God.
Emery Hunt just joined us. Very, 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 very sharp former college football player and a sharp analyst. He likes Louisville at home. What do you like?
I like Louisville. And I remember the game a couple years ago, too, when Louisville played Florida State and Louisville couldn't catch a break in the game. They were going in for points. Yeah, turnover at the one. Interception in the end zone. I was thinking, wow, they dominated the first half, yet you're down to FSU. Here's the thing. The Florida State Seminoles are a great football team right now. I didn't like what I saw in the first half against Ole Miss, though, Morency, and that was a team at home. I'm looking at Louisville. They've done their show on the road, sure, against lesser competition, but now you're a home dog against Florida State, a team that's notoriously playing a little bit slow. I'm actually sold on Louisville now, and I think they're going to make up for those mistakes. I can see Louisville winning this game between 7 and 10 points. Give me the 2.5. I'd love 3.
All right. It's a great week of college football coming up. Monster games on Saturday. But let's talk some NFL football right now.
Yeah.
The Jets and the Bills. Both teams coming off a loss, Cam. I had a meltdown on Monday.
I bet you did.
You know, the defense was good, but the offense sucked. It's always something with this team.
It's always something.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something about Cameron, too. He actually brought up a good point, this. He's showing me Tyrod Taylor, and I'm watching.
Tyrod Taylor was terrible.
Tyrod Taylor had 3 to 4 instances in this game with wide-open receivers. I'm not talking open. I'm talking gone. If he puts it up in the air, we have an automatic touchdown. Baltimore, they're not a very good football team. I'll tell you one thing, too. Hey, Jets, what's up with Nick Folk? You had a kick blocked, an extra point missed. That's a big, big problem. One thing we know, the Bills own the Jets. I'll tell you something, Marazzi. I think the public money is going to be on the Jets. I think it's a tight game, but give me the Bills in a squeaker.
You know what? I was going to take the Jets. I was disgusted earlier in the week, but I'm now officially on the Bills bandwagon once again.
The best is Billy the Doorman, one of our listeners and viewers, calls me. He's like, Gabe's going to have a heart attack talking about the Bills again. But you know what? You always come back to the Bills. They're like your comfort food, buddy. I know. It's tough. It's tough. We gonna go to a game this year or what?
I was thinking about every year, every week it's the same thing. Then last week I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go to the Bills Jets game. Mm-hmm. Then I'm watching them on Sunday.
You know, I'm not
I'm
going
like,
to
you
the
guys
game.
Sicking me. Why the hell would I waste any time going to your game? You know? All right, I'm taking the Bills too. Tampa, yeah. Tampa Bay. I love Tampa against Atlanta. Yeah. They beat them for the first straight time. Now they're getting 6.5 in Arizona. I don't know what you say, what side you were on, Cam, but I cashed a ticket with Bill Belichick in the hood at +9.5 on Sunday night. I'm a big Arians guy. I'm a big Arizona guy. But they're overrated with these point spreads, man. And now 6.5 against Tampa. I'm not sure Arizona's all that much better than Tampa.
Yep.
But it could be a trap that Tampa, second consecutive road game, Arizona in a bad mood.
Yeah,
I think it's a higher scoring game. I like the over. I lean to the dog.
Listen, Morency, they're not playing. Also, the Atlanta Falcons, who are more like the Atlanta, you know, a chickadee? Like they're not a tough bird at all.
Chick-fil-A.
They're a joke. And I'll tell you one thing. This travel, Arizona is going to be in ill mood. Horrible loss against the Patriots. And I got to be honest with you, Bruce Arians. I know you want to be. Oh, I want to do things a little bit differently with the timeouts and stuff. Don't you think it would have been nice to have a timeout at the end of the game when you take a 10-yard holding penalty and then you can actually assess the situation? I'll tell you, Marenzi, I like Arizona. I don't like favorites. I think they actually win by double digits in this game. Be very, very careful because Tampa Bay's going to meet a very, very angry bird this week.
I hear
week.
Where you're going with this, and I like some underdogs this week. I lean Tampa, but it doesn't make my top list, but yeah. We wanted to get that game out there. Here's another 6.5-point spread here, the Ravens and the Browns. I did real well, Cam. I was 10-4 against the spread of
awesome.
Week 1.
Great. Yeah, great yeah, start for both of us.
One of my losses, the Cleveland Browns.
I know.
Thought that was a bad pick.
You know what, Marenzi? I'm going to tell you, I'm a complete tool as well. I'm in the super contest like you. We went 4-1. We had a debate. I wanted Minnesota. The idiots on my team wanted Cleveland.
Great record, 4-1.
Yeah, it was a good start, but it's a long season, as you know, right? But I'm going to tell you, I actually like Cleveland in this situation for a lot of reasons. One, I think McCown's an upgrade from RG3. I wanted to give RG3 the benefit of the doubt. He was horrible in that game. Going backwards, turnovers. And the one thing, Gary Barnage becomes a factor again when you have McCown. He's one of these guys, right? So the thing is, I believe in Baltimore. In Cleveland, I believe they cover. I think they can win outright.
Yeah, watching Baltimore's offense was relatively pedestrian against the Bills, but the Bills' defense is actually better than Cleveland. I just can't do it.
I lost last week
on them. I can't do it again.
Well, that's what my buddies say. They go,
I would have been 4-1 in the contest if the Browns didn't screw me.
You know what, though, Marenzi? It's one of those things that people go, oh, that team screwed me. I can't go back to them. You know we can't think like that.
No, I don't. But the Browns are just terrible.
You just don't want any part of them.
They're not a real team. They're not on that list.
They're not a real team.
Like, you know, in school, like they have the special class at the end of the hall.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. The short bus.
Browns.
That's the Browns.
The Browns and the Bills are sort of, where's my pencil? Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a glutton for punishment. I think I'm going to take the point.
Yeah, I can't do it. All right, Kansas City and Houston. Ooh, tough game.
Ooh, very tough game.
This is a revenge game. And I remember I was in Vegas last year for the playoff game, collecting my money for the Super Contest.
Nice.
And it was a great start, Cap. I rolled up, cashed the money, had like a stack of $100 bills.
I saw pictures of you on the, you're on the bed, like throwing the money around. Fun like, times, I'm a rich guy.
Yeah, 55,000 $100 bills, a lot of money.
It is.
We're making it rain, not at the strip club, in our room, so we could keep the money. So like, hey. But the first pick that I did, I went down to the book. I put $2,000 on the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know what?
And they shut out the Texans. I was walking around Vegas like I was a kingpin.
You know what?
Like, man, I'm going to win $1 million this
weekend. I can verify that pick because I remember closely that a lot of people, including myself and all these guys who thought they were sharp, going, ooh, Houston's a nice dog. They're not a nice dog. They were horrible in that game. What did we have? 4 interceptions in the first half.
So we only have 2 minutes.
Okay,
in this game?
Oh, I lean Kansas City.
Again,
yeah. I don't care.
It's sort of like Denver and Carolina, the better team.
Revenge, revenge, revenge. What? Kansas City just plays these guys tough. They beat them all the time.
All right, here's a tough one, Cam. Your Seahawks, who, man, I wish you guys lost.
I was in a
Survivor, and I didn't have Green Bay. I'm in a 50-man league. Like 46 of you had the damn Seahawks.
I know.
Damn you, Miami.
Miami should have won that game.
Damn you, Miami. Now they're laying 6 on the road. I don't really want to do it, but the Rams are terrible. What do you do with this?
Rams,
first game in L.A.
You take the under, because how are the Rams going to score, or what's Seattle going to do? I think Seattle probably wins this game by 9 points. I have no faith in the Rams. The Rams' quarterbacking situation is a dog's breakfast. They stink. And I'll tell you another thing. I talked to Cam Bertrude Drew, and he agreed with me on this one. Jeff Fisher sucks. He's one of the worst coaches in the NFL. He's been brutal for years, and if you're not going to get fired soon, I don't know what this organization is doing.
He's got a contract extension. It's unbelievable.
Dave, he sucks.
All right, we only got 1 minute left, unfortunately. I'm going to give you guys an early midweek treat here.
Ooh.
Upset special. Take them on the money line. Money line plus 220. The Indianapolis Colts
like it.
Beat the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos.
I love that.
Love
pick.
Them plus 6.
I love that pick. And you know what? I love Washington to destroy Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Washington's going to get back on track. The two quarterbacks that struggled last week, Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins, both play well this week. But, Cam, I'll tell you what. Denver Broncos, you ran the table in the playoffs.
Yep.
You won the Super Bowl. You beat Carolina.
Let down.
It's coming.
Let down.
It's coming. It's you know, like Kramer and that dude at the auto dealer when they're driving without gas. They've been driving out gas for a while now.
Yeah, car's going
to
stop.
The car's about to stop. And they're going to realize, oh, crap, Trevor Siemian's our quarterback.
Exactly.
You guys dodged a bullet last week. We're going to all miss in the kick. They're not going to be able to keep up. And the Colts, I'm not a huge Colt guy, Cam, but they've had a lot of bad, pardon the pun, bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
I think finally things fall into place and the Colts get that statement. You know what? We don't suck. We win a football game. They beat them outright.
I love that pick, Morenci. I like the points and a little sprinkle on the money line.
We got to get out of here with some baseball picks. God, I hate betting baseball now. Any baseball picks?
Yeah, I was on Tampa Bay today. I hope they get it done.
All right. I'll come back when I play today. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We went 2-3 last night with our baseball picks. We gave you 5 picks. We won 2 of them. One of the losses was a plus 150 underdog. But let's be real here. Football's back. We're killing it. Let's not give the money back to the book, man, betting these random Major League Baseball games. We're going to play these games tonight, but we're playing really small units. Put it this way. I'm going to bet the amount that it would cost to go to a movie for 2 type of deal. All right, let's start off with the Red Sox. Porcello, the guy's a 20-game winner, man. It's only minus for 45 cents. Give me Rick Porcello and the Red Sox. The Detroit Tigers screwed me last night. But they always beat the Twins. They're like 12-3 in their last 15. They get back on track tonight. Give me the Tigers minus 65 cents. Rockies and D-backs, man. You guys know I don't bet a lot of baseball overs, but I'm betting this game to go over. We gave you the over last night. It went over like in the third inning, basically. And the Seattle Mariners have won 7 games in a row. They're streaky like I am. Let's go with the Mariners. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.